Thursday, September 1st. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, we've got three stories today. Interestingly, all three are very positive news. First, out of the Christian Post, a federal judge has struck down a California mandate challenged by churches requiring employers to cover abortions in their private health insurance plans amid a years-long legal battle.
There was a United States District Court ruling, and it's been a lengthy battle, but it's a battle that needed to be fought due to the placement of constitutionalists, those who make rulings not politically and culturally by manipulating the Constitution, but who make rulings based upon the Constitution. We have seen a series where the government's engagement, both at a state level and a federal level, to promote the sexual revolution, as well as the death culture of abortion and euthanasia, to enforce that and impose that upon society. But we keep seeing ruling after ruling that stops it. That reveals two things. Number one is the government's overreach in terms of the death culture and the culture of sexual anarchy. And number two, the sanity of rule by law when judges who act not as legislators but as arbiters. And so this cultural revolution keeps running up against the sanity of constitutional decisions. And now the state of California, which was attempting to make churches and nonprofits and religious organizations to include provisions in their health care to fund abortion and abortion-related services, the churches said, we can't do that. We cannot fund what we believe is a violation of the law of God. You shall not murder. We will not participate in the genocide of the preborn. The ruling is a ray of hope from the federal district court judge over the California state initiatives attempting to coerce, under the threat of prosecution and penalties, churches to participate in the funding of abortion through their health care policies.
Harry, let me take you from the district court to the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. A unanimous decision just this past Friday. The case was Franciscan Alliance versus Javier Becerra. This had to do with the Biden administration mandating doctors perform gender reassignment surgeries and perform abortions. The three-judge panel from the appeals court ruled unanimously that was not the case, that religious convictions overrules this mandate.
So now we see big government not just on the state level, but now on the federal level, whereby the Biden administration, under Javier Becerra's leadership as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, is taking a provision of Obamacare and declaring that whenever the funding is present and the request is made, that doctors are obligated to perform abortions, or they are obligated to engage in the facade of gender reassignment surgery. So there are many doctors who, by religious conviction and scientific sanity, say, we're not going to participate in this. And the government says, yes, you are, if you're going to keep your credentials. If you don't, we will then bring prosecution against you. Finally, in the various legal initiatives to remove this overreach, now not of a state like California in the previous story, but now with the power and resources of the federal government threatening not only the consciences but the livelihood of doctors and medical personnel, the U.S. Court of Appeals, that is the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, brought a unanimous ruling that has stopped the federal government from the insanity of their mandate and protects the rights and the free practice of religion and the sanity of true health care, as well as the sanity of the consciences of the medical personnel themselves. Let me just make a side comment on this if I can. I have made the point that this cultural revolution that's like a tsunami wave has moved so rapidly and so powerfully because of the power base of the culture shapers. We keep getting the stories of how this revolution of a death culture and sexual anarchy is being driven by the significant resources of state and federal government. And thankfully, the rule of law has now stopped it in both of these cases.
Harry, let me take you to this third story. Many of our listeners will remember this past spring, the Biden administration decided that they were going to create a disinformation governance board. The Biden administration paused the board in May, 3 weeks after its inception. The disinformation board, as you can imagine, was heavily criticized by civil liberty advocates. Critics argued that the entity was an attempt to create state-sponsored truth police. Last week, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas announced that he has formally terminated the short-lived entity.
Tom, you'll remember we did a program on this, not simply the chilling effect that this has on the First Amendment and its right of free speech, but the clear attempt to establish state control over public speech in the public square. This committee to remove disinformation was a thinly veiled attempt to establish the power of the federal government to control information and to declare government-approved speech. This seemingly was pulled from the pages of the publication 1984 by George Orwell, in which he warned my generation of the coming overreach of tyrannical government. And the Marxist revolution that is being imposed in our society through critical theory is you create animosity, you create confusion, then the government says we'll step in and be your savior, and it keeps increasing its power and its authority. And now the public outcry is such that, wait just a minute, the federal government is going to establish a committee on disinformation. In other words, this committee is going to determine that in the area of news programs, cable casting, social media, digital communication, the government is going to have the power to determine what is allowed and what's not allowed. That's not filtering out disinformation. That's establishing government-approved speech. So you have now eviscerated the First Amendment. What has been proposed by this president is the control of speech with a government agency that will determine what is proper information and what is disinformation. Now, everyone says, oh, that's good news. They've come to their senses. I would suggest the possibility at least to put in the back of your mind, no, here's what happens constantly in government overreach. There is an initiative that causes alarm. The overreach continues temporarily. Then it is stated to have been removed, but actually it's not removed. It's put on the back burner because the initiative has exposed the inadequacies of how to get this ensconced in society. So now they put it on the back burner. How can we rename it? How can we reintroduce it? And what would be the timely moment where people would be willing for us to engage in this in order to make it a proposal to maintain and secure their safety and their security? So, Tom, I am not so sure this is gone, but I am grateful that the original initiative of this committee for the removal of disinformation, at least it has met its public demise. What I am praying is it will not return in another form or fashion. Redemption and change and transformation does not come by law. Law can maintain, law can clarify, and law can protect in its proper administration. But change has to come from the heart. And the only thing that changed the heart is grace. And while I am grateful for the law in the hands of a government that is accountable, I am even more grateful that in the hands of the church is something more powerful, and that is the grace of the Lord Jesus, who redeems us from the curse of the law and blesses us through the one who has secured for us everlasting life in Christ. And the Savior is the one who is our life.
Prayer. How can something that seems so simple be so difficult? As easy as prayer ought to be, a consistent God-honoring prayer life is a challenge. Harry Reeder has put together a 11-part CD series on the Lord's Prayer. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/Lord's Prayer. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.